In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. The icon for the Sunday of Forgiveness, although we don't have one, or St. Basil's doesn't have one. The icon, as I put out in the bulletin, is the expulsion of Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. It's the expulsion of Adam and Eve from the garden. Why this icon? Such is the place that you and I, the baptized faithful, begin great and holy Lent. We begin outside the Garden of Eden, outside of communion with God. And yet, even though Adam and Eve sinned, our God, who is an all-merciful God, does not abandon his creature or his creation. God never forgets the work of his hands. Should he ever forget anything that is created, it goes into non-existence. Such is the reason why in our memorial service we pray, and when someone passes away, we say to one another, the Eastern greeting is, may his or her memory be eternal. In other words, God, never forget what you've created. And the supreme act of his fidelity was when God the Father sent his own beloved Son, Jesus the Christ, to dwell among the human race in order to offer you and me a way back into the garden being his kingdom. And the liturgy is constantly and eternally God offering to creation, to you and me, a participation in the garden of the new life. Nevertheless, there are certain moments in space and time when that invitation within our liturgy is more intense and even more profound. So yes, every Sunday is, and every liturgy, every time we have liturgy, whether it's even Vespers or Orthos in the Sacred Temple, God is calling us and bringing us back, and we're being drawn more into the garden of life. And yet, we come to a season like Great and Holy Lent, when this journey to the garden of life is even more intense. It's even more profound. And this journey during Great Lent has a goal, has a name, has a purpose, and is preparing us for Great and Holy Week. It's a journey to the holy city of Jerusalem. Why this holy city of Jerusalem? That is where our Lord and God's Savior, Jesus the Christ, suffered, he died, he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. By journeying to the holy city these 40 days, we are going with anticipation that we may see anew the glorified face of God. And the psalmist says, when I see the face of God, I will live. And that's where we're going. That's where we're preparing ourselves to see. Because we see the radiant face of God, we will be alive. What opened the doors to this new life? What opened the doors for us to enter, return to the garden of life? And there was a moment on the cross when this happened. It was that moment when the Lord said from the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. At that very moment, the doors of repentance were thrown open to every single human being. the Lord gives that invitation to everybody on one condition. On one condition. That you forgive as God has forgiven. In today's gospel lesson, then, Jesus the Christ teaches, if you forgive men their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. However, if you do not forgive men their offenses, neither will the Father forgive you your offenses. And in the prayer that God taught us, the Our Father, which hopefully we pray at least three times a day, once in the morning, once in the evening, and once before you go to bed, three times a day minimally, we pray the petition, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. The exorcist, Father Carlos Martins, perhaps you have come across his name, identifies the failure to forgive yourself or others is the fourth chief roadblock to receiving life in God. It's the fourth. He says the first chief roadblock is not to go to church on Sundays. If you want to experience life, if you want to experience God's life, you have to be going to church every Sunday. This is from The Exorcist. But of course, he's repeating what the church has always taught. Second of all, you need to be going to confession. That's the second chief roadblock. If you don't go to confession, don't expect to experience life in God. Third, it is customary, a bad habit for people to withhold certain sins in confession. And he says that's the third chief roadblock. If you're truly desiring to return to the garden of life. Fourth chief roadblock is not to forgive one another. This exorcist says, quote, we have all been hurt. Some of us have been hurt more than others. But our God is a funny God. He will accept forgiving and sorrowful murderers and rapists at his table. But he will not accept people who are unable to forgive. End of quote. As we stand on the threshold of great and holy Lent, the church is presenting to you and me on this Sunday the way back to the garden of abundant life. It's the way of forgiveness. Even in today's gospel lesson, before the Lord mentions any ascetical practices of like fasting, he begins with the first ascetical practice. You must forgive. You must forgive one another. And also we must learn to forgive ourselves. How many times we may be walking around with a cloud of discouragement and a cloud of despair or a cloud of despondency. And it oftentimes comes down to one reason. You can't forgive yourself. All of one's ascetical acts that you will take on these next 7 weeks will be done in vain if you don't first practice the asceticism of forgiveness. Show forgiveness and seek forgiveness. Yes, if someone else is angry at you, go seek reconciliation. Seek their forgiveness. If you harbor ill will, if you harbor malice or envy or resentment toward anyone, every ascetical act done for the next 7 weeks will be done in vain. If you remain quarrelsome, stubborn, or contentious with anyone, then these next 7 weeks of ascetical fasting will be done in vain. And those sins, yes, they break communion with God, creation, neighbor, and self. And the objective of this entire season is one: restored communion. And the means is forgiveness. And beyond those sins, we speak to every sin. Every sin is always personal, but it's never private. No matter how quiet you do your sins, and maybe nobody will ever know, whatever those may be, it's personal, but it's still not private. Every sin, as St. Paul teaches us, and the fathers and mothers, our holy fathers and mothers, teach us, every sin affects the entire body of Christ and affects the cosmos at large. While the spiritually healthy person brings strength to the body, the person who commits sin harms the body. For this reason, then, in just a few hours, we will begin Great Lent with the first act of metanoia, the act of forgiveness. The God of merciful love, the humble one, seeing the act of forgiveness you and I do, will be drawn like a magnet to such a godly act. After the potluck, therefore, we shall return to the sacred temple in order to celebrate forgiveness vespers, recognizing the great importance of forgiveness. Hopefully, everyone will remain and participate in this ritual act. But my friends, my brothers and sisters, do not see this ritual as an empty symbolic gesture filled with sentimentality. It's nothing of the sort. Rather, consciously and actively participate in this liturgical act as your initial step on the road toward restored communion. Christ is among us. Yes.